Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs.
Thank you for joining us today. Today we conclude our series on sacred marriage with the second part of Sacred Marriage, Part 5.
Well, we talked about earlier in episodes about loving each other, honoring each other, learning to develop a better prayer life by working on our marriage and by keeping our sin account short, because we need to focus on our own sin in order to grow our marriage. If we're not doing those things, if we're not learning to love in every season, if we're not learning to give honor and grace to one another, if we're not learning to grow in our prayer life, if we're not learning to keep our sin account short, then the touching and the talking is going to be hard. Yeah.
And for you guys that are listening, I would say to you that the talking and the touching is something that you have to determine to do. You have to be intentional.
Absolutely.
And as a husband, one of the things you could do in giving the gift of self, you know, some of you guys work such long hours, and I know many of you men will tell me you listen on the way to work, and or you listen on the way home from work. And when you work long hours and life is busy and you're tired, it sometimes is the first thing you let go is you let go the marriage relationship because it's the safe one. You know, you have to talk to your boss. You have to talk to your employees.
True.
But sometimes you can think, well, you know, my wife loves me, and so I don't have to talk now. I'm home, and I don't have to.
True.
But you have to be intentional, and you have to take the time to say, no, my wife, my marriage needs me.
Yes.
And if my marriage needs me, then I have to give the gift of myself. I have to set aside time to talk.
Right.
And you know, I was thinking about it, even with our children, one of the things that we did through all the years of revival work is we kind of put our kids on like a second shift mentality in the sense that our kids never had the, you know, we're always shocked when we meet people and their kids go to bed every night by 9 o'clock.
Or by 7:30 or 8.
Or yeah, for some people it's like, you know, we've had people tell us, well, we won't be back to the revival because our children's bedtime is 7:15 and they cannot miss their bedtime. And I don't know if they're always hard and fast about that. I've noticed that some families will make major exceptions for sports, but not for a revival service.
True.
And that's a whole other, podcast. And spoken like a true evangelist there. But one of the things I noticed with our kids, even that intentional, the service is over. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the RV.
Right.
And then we get a snack, or sometimes we even have a late meal.
Yes.
And that talking time with the kids was huge. Those were fun times.
Absolutely. And it still is with Charity.
Yeah. And she always wants to talk late into the night. And we're getting that age to where, okay, we are getting sleepy. and she's our entertainment in the evening. Who needs a TV? Just when you're in your 50s, have a 13-year-old.
Yeah, she's 13.
And she'll keep you entertained. But that talking and touching are huge in our culture and in our marriage.
Yes.
And so it does that for you men. You have to think it through. And you know, and as a couple, just be practical about it. When you're walking together, hold hands. That's touching. And if you're shopping, was it Red Skelton said, when you go shopping with your wife, hold her hand, otherwise she will buy stuff. And that's going a wrong direction. But talking and touching are important.
Right. You have to be intentional. And you just spoke from the man's point of view of how that you come home from work, you're tired. You really just want to relax and not have to listen or engage in a conversation. From a wife's perspective, I remember those years of all the babies that were coming, one right after the other. And a young wife can feel, can I say it this way, touched out. She has been touched all day. Maybe she's nursing a baby. Maybe she has a little one who's teething, and so she's had to hold him all day. Maybe she has a clingy toddler. She just has been drooled on, touched, had sloppy kisses given to her all day.
Maybe
long.
Even thrown up on or other things.
Yes, yes. And so she's just, when the babies go to bed, she's just done. Don't touch me. Just give me my space. But I love that Mr. Thomas puts it in the aspect of giving the gift of yourself. That touching and talking is giving the gift of yourself because your husband may need to touch you. He may need you to touch him. And we often get the selfish view of, I have been touched all day long. I really would like you to not touch
Leave me alone.
But in a marriage, it is worth it to give the gift of yourself, to give the gift of touch to your husband and the gift of a conversation to your husband. Once those babies all go to bed, maybe your husband's gotten a little nap and he's ready to talk. And you just want to veg on social media, turn it off, put your phone down, have a conversation, because the gift of yourself is very important. And I would think that this would cue us right into how that our culture is not about the giving of self.
Not at all.
No.
And you know, social media is about sharing and connecting, we're told. But what social media has a tendency to do, social media has a tendency to do.
We both are struggling there with great, that sound.
Yeah, but what it has a tendency to do is actually separate us from real life touching and talking.
Yes, it's a fake connection.
It is. And the more we see that, you know, Gary Smalley even acknowledges, Gary Thomas in this book, wrong author.
How many books are you reading right
Too
now?
Many. But Gary Thomas actually says in this book that sometimes a husband, the gift of self from a husband's perspective is being aware. That, you know what, my wife has, it's not personal. It's not that she hates me. It's not that she's just refusing to be a wife to me. No, I understand there were times that, no, you really were touched out. And yes, would there be times I'd want to be together when we just, you just could not? And instead of taking that personally and getting all upset, it was an opportunity for me to serve you.
Yes.
And when the two of us together in a marriage are conscious of the other.
Yes.
We're aware of the needs of each other, and we're willing to continually take the steps toward one another. That's right. what he's calling here, taking steps toward one another, and then together taking steps toward God.
Yes.
That really does make a huge thing.
It does.
The conclusion of his book is just so powerful in that regard. It is.
I was just thinking of an example of I was talking about being touched out as a young wife. I remember times when I, in my spirit, would know David wants to be romantic with me. And honestly, physically and emotionally.
How would you know that?
Well, we could talk about that later. But I would just know in my spirit, and I would feel guilty. I would, at my tiredness physically, my tiredness emotionally. And I remember times when my husband, being the godly man that he was and walking in the spirit that he was, where he would say, you know what? I know that you look really tired. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to rub your back, or I'm going to massage your feet. And we're just going to talk. Or you can just fall asleep, which is what I would do.
Typically, yes.
Many times. But what an amazing show of grace to me that he was willing to not just let me be tired, but also to engage in the gift of himself of, I'm going to touch you in a way that will help you relax, that will help you fall asleep, that will help you get the rest you need. And it's also enriching our marriage at the same time. So many times when the husband doesn't want to talk and the wife doesn't want to be touched and they don't want to give that gift of themselves, then you get that rift in your marriage of, oh, he is so selfish, he won't talk to me. Oh, she is so selfish, she won't touch me. And in those times, ministering to each other, ministering that grace is just, it is an amazing boost to your marriage. You just feel that grace, you feel that love, and you feel that honor and that respect. And so you, in turn, want to serve your spouse.
And you know, he says in the book, sweetheart, he says the refusal to give the gift of self can sometimes be malicious.
Yes.
And he didn't say this, but I think it's true. I think the refusal to give the gift of self can sometimes be discouraging and frustrating. Meaning that if there were times in our marriage when I knew you were tired and you just needed to be, you just needed to sleep, you just needed to be left alone. Mm-hmm. If in those times I really was willing to allow God to help me to serve you.
Right.
Then what that resulted in was a satisfaction in my heart that I loved you.
Yes.
And here's the person I love, and I am serving her at a cost of giving up something else.
Right.
That drew me closer to the Lord. But in the times when I wasn't that way and I would get, you know, oh my word, for crying out loud, then there's a frustration. And then she already feels a little guilty because she knows that, you know, if I were a better wife, this is how the lady would think, or Bethany would think, if I were a better wife, I could take care of this and just be here for you.
Right.
But on the other hand, when instead of, you know, me being frustrated that she was too tired or that she's weary or that she's had a rough day.
Yes.
And the result of that, though, on the other hand, is if we serve each other.
Yes.
And it only takes one person to serve.
It does.
Then the result is I would feel, you know, and you talked about, you know, the time I would, you know, give you a back rub. Oh, I'm just going to give you a back rub because I can tell you're really tired. You're worn out.
Right.
Well, then I knew I was pleasing to the Lord. And that was a manly thing to do, to give up my thinking for you.
Right.
And men, it really is that simple. And ladies, it's that simple.
And we can. When David has been on the road hours and hours and hours and weeks and weeks and weeks and touching lives and speaking and speaking and speaking, there are times where he comes home and he utterly needs to not engage in conversation.
Just let me let my brain just die here
let
for a moment.
Let my brain just stop. And there were times as a young wife, I did not understand that. I would think to myself, you know what? You've just talked to how many people out there and you can't come in and have a 5-minute conversation with me. But when I am walking with God and I, in humility and grace, want to serve David, I can just be quiet.
Well, and the deal is that we don't take those things personally. We come to the place where we realize,
absolutely,
this is not about me. It's not that my husband hates me or my wife hates me. It's about the life that we're all living
under the curse of sin.
And
we
the
have
stress
broken
that we're all
bodies.
Facing.
Yes.
And the weariness that's normal to life.
Yes.
And sometimes it's about the fact that you're a woman and this is how women handle this, or I'm a man. This is how men, so it's not personal. Yes. But as we continually give the gift of ourself, the ending to the book is about giving the gift of self.
It is amazing to me, just along those same lines, when I would just allow David to come in. I would greet him, of course, warmly, and then allow him to maybe take a 30-minute nap and get refreshed, put his feet up, listen to his own podcast, not this one, somebody else that he likes to listen to, or do whatever, listen to some music. It is amazing to me how often then, when I've just had a quiet spirit about it and a sweet spirit, that he will, in time, wander into the kitchen while I'm cooking and sit down and we can have a nice long heart-to-heart conversation.
Sure. And it's about both of us giving of ourselves.
It is. But the intentionality of this was, we both need to be working on touching and talking every day. And in this culture of all about me, I need me time. Mm-hmm. I need to veg. I need to binge watch on Netflix. I need to go out in the woods and cut down a tree, or whatever men want to do, because they just need to feel more manly. In this time of me time, it behooves us as Christian couples to take that time.
Absolutely.
Of touch and talk, even Absolutely. After a weary day.
And what a great way to end this this particular series. No matter where you are in your relationship, in your marriage,
yes,
move toward each other.
Yes.
Take some steps. Stop the fussing, stop the even get your focus maybe off of the issue and just move toward each other in some way today.
Right.
And think about, what could I do today to move toward my spouse?
Right.
To touch, to talk. Start with a text.
Yes.
Make a phone call. Send flowers.
Take a walk, hold
take
hands.
Take a walk, eat a meal together.
Talk.
Surprise her and take her on a date.
Yes.
Move toward each other.
Go get a cup of coffee.
That's
or tea.
The gift of self.
You only have to hold that with one hand. Then
That's
you can
a good
hold
point.
Each other's hands at the same time.
You've been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. Today's discussion was the conclusion to our series on sacred marriage. Tune in next time, where we answer some more questions.
For more information, or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIL Radio Network.